We are, and we hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good.
Okay, so we are 4 o'clock, so Mr. Bob Lloyd, are we good to go? I will assume silence is yes, and I will call to order our special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council for Monday, March 30th, 2020 at 4 p.m. And I'll just kind of say thank you to everyone as we continue our physical distancing. We have a number of people on the line, and we only have very few people in the chambers right now. We have myself, City Manager Matt Bronson, City Clerk Wendy Sims, Deputy City Clerk Nicole Ratena, and Police Chief John Peters. We are all practicing social distancing or physical distancing. And what I will ask for those that are on the line, including the council members, after we do a roll call, if you would mute your phones so that we can, to make sure that we proceed without a whole lot of background noise or feedback in this situation. So with that, we'll do a call to order. And then for those of you who are able to rise, please join our city manager in leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise.
Hand over your heart. Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
a republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. Thank you, everyone. So with that, Madam Clerk, if you do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Lance.
Here.
Councilmember Nichols.
Here.
Councilmember Shaw.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
Mayor Lee.
Here as well. So we have a quorum, and we will continue. So I believe, Nicole, you have muted everyone but the council members. Is that correct? So
yes.
Council members, if you would, please put yourselves on mute for the moment, and then I will call on you as we proceed through the agenda. So next we'll go into public communications, where the council will listen to public communications, where any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. So rather than attending in person, residents, please, if you're listening, please call, and you do want to speak under public communications, please call 805-321-6639, and Nicole will put you in the queue for that. And now I will turn it over to Nicole and see if we have anybody who has public communications.
No, we do not.
Very good. Seeing no one come forward for public communications, we'll close that for the moment and proceed into our business calendar, where we do have several items this afternoon, one of which is an overview of the city's COVID-19 response. I'll turn it over to the city manager, Mr. Bronson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. Good afternoon to you. First of all, thank you for your time this afternoon in convening the special meeting of the Grover Beach City Council focused on our COVID-19 response and key actions that we are bringing before the council today. We have four items before the council. This first one is a general update on our city's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We're asking the council to receive this information and provide any input, any questions you have to staff. And then from there, we have three subsequent agenda items where actions are requested, as will be described in each of the three items. So let me start off with my overview of our response to COVID-19. In general, the city is following this issue, this pandemic, very closely, as is every other local agency in this county, in the state, and throughout the country. We are working diligently following the direction of the county public health department. We are focusing on community health and safety as our first priority in this public health situation, understanding the economic impacts this is also causing, and I'll touch on those in just a moment. As the council is aware, back on March 14th, the city started taking actions with regards to COVID-19. We began canceling or postponing different events, recreation classes, facility rentals. We closed city facilities to the public through the end of March, and that now through April. And then on March 16th, I declared a local emergency declaration, given my role as city manager, emergency services director. The council later ratified it that night. This is a precautionary measure to respond to the situation and also enable reimbursement of related costs in this emergency situation. Since then, the county enacted a shelter-at-home order on March 18th in order to slow the spread of the infection from the virus, and then the state of California followed the very next day with a statewide stay-at-home order. The theme behind both these orders is for the public to remain at home, to increase social distancing from this virus, and only go outside for taking care of essential businesses, going to the grocery store, going to a gas station. There are certain functions that are exempt from this, that are considered essential government functions, and that's what the city is focusing on in our overall service delivery approach. We are working to ensure business compliance, working in conjunction with the County of San Luis Obispo. We appreciate the work of our business community in demonstrating voluntary compliance with regards to the county's executive order, and our code compliance officer has been working to make sure we maintain this compliance going forward. What the city is focused on in our capacity are essential government functions. Our focus has been on police patrol and dispatch, water treatment, wastewater and water distribution, infrastructure projects, stormwater response, permit review and issuance for applicable residential and commercial permits. Of course, fire and emergency medical services are provided by the Five Cities Fire Authority and continue to be provided to our community. We have closed our facilities to the public as well as a primary employee workspace. We are essentially teleworking as many employees in the organization, and then those employees in the field, our maintenance crew, police officers, and others are continuing their field operations as well. We have closed our facilities and park recreation facilities. So our playgrounds, our sports courts are closed to the public to help reduce the spread of the infection across the community. Individuals can still access our outdoor areas, but just to make sure they follow the social distance, physical distance requirements of no fewer than 6 feet between them and other groups around them. Our city main line is still available at 805-473-4550, and we have an email address at cityhall@gorberbeach.org for the public to continue contacting the city with questions, inquiries, along with individual staff members and departments. I will say that in general, we have not had many calls for service with regards to city service impacts. The calls have been typical calls that we get for service requests and other routine issues that we deal with. I'll say in general, the city organization has performed very, very well during these last couple of weeks. This has been a very unique time for us, becoming a virtual city operation in a matter of days. We have worked closely with other agencies, every city in the county, as well as the county itself, working closely with community partners to make sure we are responding to this public health and economic situation diligently, thoughtfully, and empathetically. We're also doing a lot of work on communicating information to our community through numerous social media posts, website updates, news releases, videos. We're trying to make sure the community is well informed and well engaged with what we are dealing with and what we're experiencing as a community. Also, I'll say that we are operating what's called a virtual emergency operations center environment, where we don't have a physical EOC here at City Hall, given the shelter at home order and our needs currently as a community. We are essentially providing emergency services remotely, virtually, through our houses, through the work that we're doing in telecommuting. I think we're carrying this out very effectively. The last point I'll mention before turning it back to council is our focus is on public health. Our focus is on reducing the spread of this virus and bending the curve, flattening the curve, as the phrase goes. At the same time, we are keenly aware of the economic impacts that this is causing in our community and throughout this region. We have heard significant job losses, significant business losses through the closures that are necessary as part of the public health situation, and those are very concerning for our community. They're very concerning for our community's well-being. We've had calls from individuals who have expressed concern about paying water bills because of job losses, income losses, and that's something that we are grappling with as an agency and as a community. I will say that as a city, our focus is on providing essential services now and in the future for our community. Our revenues are a key part of how we do that, these job losses, these income losses, will have an impact on our revenues as we go forward. Right now, because of our revenue stream, we feel that we are currently in a stable position from a city revenue standpoint. Property taxes are our primary revenue source, along with other tax revenues, but we're monitoring this very carefully. We're tightening current year spending. We're monitoring our hiring processes to make sure we are financially stable, but we'll be developing financial projections for the economic downturn that is almost assuredly to come over this next year, and making sure we respond appropriately for our community as well. I'll also add, just lastly, that we are working closely with the South County Chambers of Commerce. They are doing a tremendous job in partnering with the business community and bolstering the business community, marketing the business community, and helping position the business community to resources that are available through the federal and state government. This is a time for a very strong, well-functioning chamber, and we're working with them on different ways that we could further support the chamber, given their role in helping our businesses today. So with that, that is our update on where we are right now with COVID-19. Again, your staff team has been very diligent and very thoughtful in our response on how we approach this. We're making sure our employees are protected and safe as well. This has an impact on all of us, and we want to make sure we are all being cautious and protective in how we carry ourselves out. And then for the foreseeable future, this type of format, a teleconference format or a video conference format, is how we intend to carry out council meetings, given the physical distance requirements we must adhere to for the foreseeable future. So with that, I will yield the floor back to the council and be glad to answer any questions that the council might have.
Very good. Thank you, City Manager, for that update and that kind of decision tree discussion as to how we got to where we are. I'll go ahead and start in roll call order and see if there's any questions. So we'll start with Councilmember Lance.
No questions, just gratitude for what the city has been doing so far for our community and the response time that they've stepped up to do that. It's very admirable and appreciated from my perspective, so thank you.
Very good. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Nichols.
I agree with Councilmember Lance. I am very proud of the way our city is behaving and the way our residents are responding.
Very good. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
Hi. Yes, I agree with those comments. And I guess my only question, none of us really know the future right now, but I understand the governor's asked everyone to shelter in place till April 17th. So do we see this going at least until then, or do we have a projected timeline past that? Do we have any timeline?
I can address that through the mayor. So the April 17th timeline is the timing for the county's shelter at home order. So that was enacted on March 18th. It was a 30-day window with a two-week reevaluation period that is actually coming up this week. So I'm sure we'll hear more from the county regarding that time frame. But the April 17th date is coming from the county. The governor's order did not have a time frame associated with it. It was an open-ended order. So we're seeing how those two coincide as we go forward. Given what we are seeing, it is foreseeable that the April 17th date may be extended out by some period of time. I know here locally, Lucia Marr has indicated that schools will reopen no earlier than May 4th. So that early May time frame seems to be what a number of agencies are moving towards. But again, we'll have to see what comes out of the county this week.
Okay, thank you. That was all I had.
Very good. Next, we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Hi, thank you. The only other thing I would like to say is that I appreciate the what looks to be an increased PD presence, at least in this neighborhood, and I know that just by looking at my neighbors who stop and chat with the police officers, I know that they greatly appreciate it. And then I'm sure we all received that recent letter from, last name was Mann, I think. So I know that that our citizens also appreciate our city's efforts, so as do I. So I think we're doing everything we can at this point in time, and everyone appreciates it as I do.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So I did just have one question. The city manager and I did speak briefly earlier today, and my question was about the status of our city hall workers and our workforce. And the information that he provided is that the vast majority of our city workforce is being provided. Actually, I'll let the city manager. It's more appropriate for you to respond to that.
That's fair. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The mayor's question is related to just wanting an update on how many staff members were considered, quote, essential service workers, how many are performing their duties while telecommuting, and then information on any out on leave right now. And just in general, of our 65 current employees, we have 75 positions, full-time equivalents, but we have some vacancies, as the council is aware. The vast majority, roughly 62 of those employees, are serving in an essential service capacity. We are a lean organization, one of the smallest across the county, and our employees are continuing to provide the important work of our organization. And for the handful of employees who may not be considered, quote, essential service workers, we're still working on ways to help employ, engage them in the work that we're doing as a city. We're wanting to continue supporting our employees and providing necessary and important services for the community, and that's how we intend to go forward to the best of our ability. Roughly about, I would say, a third of our total workforce is telecommuting right now. When you take out police and our maintenance crew, it's almost everybody amongst our quote, city hall employees. So again, I'll credit our staff members in their great job in helping to get our technology tools, get our teleworking capabilities in place, making sure we have productive telecommuting environments for work to take place effectively, and by all accounts, that's being done across the organization. And then, as of now, I think only four employees are on some kind of leave as it stands right now for various reasons. I will note that, like other agencies, we have developed a COVID-19 leave policy. I want to thank our HR analyst, Carla Maddox, for her work with that, along with Kay Johnson from Lieber Cassidy Whitmore. Our policy does provide for up to 2 weeks of paid sick leave for employees who may be suffering from symptoms. That's on top of the leave that they already have, sick leave they already have. We're also allowing employees to receive up to 80 hours of advanced sick leave as well. So we are taking steps to help support our organization in this situation as well.
Very good. Thank you for that. Didn't have any other further questions, but I didn't alert them to this opportunity, but I did want to see if the fire chief and the police chief wanted to provide any information to the council. We'll start with the police chief since he's in the room.
Yes, Police Chief John Peters, and I just wanted to say that we appreciate the community support during this time, and we're all in this together, working together to get through it. Also appreciate the council support in giving us the resources necessary in order to accomplish the goals of the community. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for that update. So if we can unmute the fire chief and see if he has any comments that he wants to share.
Good afternoon, Steve Lieberman, Five Cities Fire. Am I off mute?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for taking a gamble on that. Five Cities Fire, we're at full operating capacity as far as personnel. We've acquired additional personal protective equipment through the county. We're working closely with the county and other fire departments, developing contingency planning should things ramp up and we start losing folks to the illness. We are developing extra measures to disinfect either apparatus or a fire station if needed. We're just very focused on what's happening right now and still responding to business as usual calls. I will say that we appreciate everyone's discipline to shelter at home because our call volume has actually dropped off a little bit. People are staying home and taking care of one another. Answer any questions if there are any.
Very good. Thank you for that update. Any questions for either chief? I'll give a moment for the council to unmute and say yes. Actually, we'll start with Councilmember Lance. We'll do this a little more methodically. Councilmember Lance, any questions of the chiefs?
No questions. Thank you both.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols?
No questions.
Councilmember Shaw?
No, none for me. Thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, Chief Lieberman, how do I imagine that you have certain processes in place, or should you have to go into a home? Could you just talk about that briefly?
Certainly. Thank you for the question. So county protocols have been developed, so all fire departments should be approaching a patient displaying flu-like or COVID symptoms in the same way. So by screening the initial 911 call, the dispatch centers are asking people if they are displaying those symptoms, a cough, shortness of breath, an elevated fever. And if they get any of that information affirmed, they're actually notifying us via radio before we leave so the folks can don the extra personal protective equipment that's been issued, and that's namely a respirator mask, eye protection, and a gown. Once we arrive at the residence, we will make contact from a doorway. If the patient or community member is able to come outside to meet the crew, that's preferable. Otherwise, we will send one crew member in to make contact with the patient to, again, keep that bubble of 6 feet as best we can and to limit exposure of our crews to just that one person unless additional help is needed.
Thank you. I was just wondering, I figured you'd all had that all figured out. I was just wondering how that was working. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. And City Manager Bronson, you wanted to add something to
that? Not to that comment, but just as a closing comment.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Before we do that, let's see if there's any members of the public online that wanted to speak on this item.
No.
Great. Very good. Thank you. Seeing no one coming forward, either verbally or visually or virtually, I'll turn it back to the City Manager for some closing comments before comments from the Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just briefly, to echo some of the comments made by the council, the community has done a tremendous job in following the shelter-at-home order and staying at home and going out on their own to get fresh air, to limiting visits to essential businesses. You drive around the community, you walk around the community, and you see that all around. I think the community really should be complimented for how we are responding as one community. We are all in this together, and that's been very evident. I will note that we need that to continue. We are in a moment where we need to continue having the shelter at place go forward. We're now 2 weeks into it. People may be feeling like they can relax a little bit. We can't have that as a community. We need to continue bolstering our defenses and making sure we are following the shelter at home order. And that goes for the beach access. So on Friday, California State Parks did close vehicular access to Oceano Dunes State Vehicle Recreation Area and Pismo State Beach. They did leave the Grand Avenue parking lot open for 1 hour parking. So that's important to have our access, but we need to make sure we follow the physical distance requirements in the parking lot, in walking on the beach, and in accessing the outdoor areas. So that's a message we need to continue conveying across the community. We'll do that in our public information. The community has done a great job, and we just need to keep that going.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So is there any members of the council that want to have any closing comments on this receive and file item? So Councilmember Lance.
No, I would just add that I've been at the beach almost every day this last 2 weeks, and I have been seeing our community members practicing social and physical distancing. So just being able to see that, you know, day to day, I think it's really important. And as City Manager Bronson noted, we have to continue doing that because the more closely we follow the shelter at place order, the less duration we will be sheltering in place. So I think it's very important, and thank you to our community for taking it seriously in the majority.
Very good. Well said. Thank you for those comments. Councilmember Nichols, anything to add?
No, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
I echo Councilmember Lance's comments and the city manager's comments that I just really hope people continue to take it seriously. I know our cases right now may not be rising like some other big cities, but that doesn't mean they won't. It means we're all doing the right thing. And I'm just really thankful to our police and fire, because they will be on the front lines of going in and getting these people out of their homes if they are ill. So I just echo everyone's comments, and I know it's getting hard. I think in our house we're on day 15 or 16, but I just want us to do everything we can to keep people doing this. So that's all.
Very good. Good comments. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No, not really, other than I agree with what everyone has said, and particularly with our first responders. I worry about them and want them to, of course, stay safe. This is our new normal for the next, hopefully, short while. I really have nothing more to add. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. So this is a receive and file, and I'll just say I echo all of my colleagues' comments and appreciate staff as well as the police staff as well as the fire staff, and then also I understand want to do a shout-out acknowledgement to our South County Chamber's Executive Director, Jocelyn Brennan, who's on the phone as well. So I know the community appreciates what the city staff has been doing and what the Chamber staff has been doing, and before we all go stir-crazy, we will be well fed and we will be hopefully well recreated in public spaces with a physical distancing that is appropriate. So with that, we'll go ahead and close that item consider that update received and move into the next item on the agenda, which is the urgency ordinance affirming actions of the County of San Luis Obispo related to the COVID-19 pandemic. I see this is City Attorney Hale, but I'll see if the city manager wants to do any introductory comments.
I will just pass the baton off to the city attorney and let him provide a quick summary of this item.
Very good. City Attorney Mr. Hale, thank you for joining us. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager, and good afternoon, Council. What you have here is what I would call an affirmation ordinance. Essentially, as you know, proclamations of local emergency by the county has been issued by the Emergency Services Director, and specifically, there were two local emergency orders and regulations identified as number 3 and number 4 that have been adopted by the county, both of them on March 18th with an amendment to the regulation number 4 on March 21st. Essentially, order number 3 restricts and limits landlords' abilities to commence evictions on residential or commercial property for tenants of commercial or residential property. And regulation number 4 mandates the cessation of certain activities and directing that all residents within the county shelter at home. Governor, as of last Saturday, issued an executive order N-3720, and this is an order that essentially is very similar to the county's order related to evictions and substantially limits the ability of landlords to evict tenants. Under the Government Code, Section 41601, and Health and Safety Code, Section 101029, those code sections give the ability of the local chief of police to enforce these county ordinances. But one of the things that have been somewhat unclear amongst the city attorneys who have, the different cities of the county have discussed this issue, is whether we as city attorneys have prosecutorial authority to go into court and actually enforce the citations that are issued by the local agency chief of police or police departments. So what this functionally does is it's asking you to affirm those county service directive orders, and in doing so, will make a stronger argument on the part of my office to be able to go into court and to essentially enforce any potential violations of these orders or any local regulations of the city. So that's functionally what this is about, and so we're asking you to review and to adopt this ordinance to essentially give me that authority. So I'm available for any questions.
So thank you for that staff report. We'll turn it over to Councilmember Lance, see if she has any questions.
No questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols.
No questions.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
I just want to make sure I understand. So this would mean no evictions until May 31st?
Under the governor's executive order in 3720, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was all I had.
Let me clarify that those are evictions that fall within very defined criteria, which is articulated in executive order.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Hearing no questions from her,
Sorry, I'm back. no questions. Thank you.
Very good. And I'm going to apologize to our city manager and our city attorney. I did have one question I didn't ask earlier. If we go to page 3 of the ordinance under part 5, it reads in part, the director of emergency services, administrative services director, is authorized to pursue recovery from all available state and federal agencies, blah, 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 blah. Is there any concerns for adding local sources, local county sources, to the language to make sure that we cover as many bases as we can?
I don't have any concerns, and if that's the directive of the council, we'll certainly include that.
Okay. And part of the reason I ask that is the federal orders or the CARE Act that was recently signed into law appears to have funding coming through the county to the cities because of the size of our county. Being a county of under 500,000, the funding is going to come to the state and then to us through the county. So I just want to make sure that that we're not going to get funding directly from the federal government. Ours is going to be because of our size through an alternate source. Just want to make sure that the county is in there as well. So city manager.
Yeah, I mean, we could modify the language to say from all available federal, state, and other local agencies for reimbursement of so on and so forth. That way it's inclusive of the county or other agencies.
Okay. Very good. Did that generate any questions by any of the council members? Just go ahead and unmute and say yes or no.
No, I'm fine.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. No, I'm fine.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. So I'll turn to Nicole and see if there's any, or Ms. Rotena, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item?
No.
Very good. Thank you. We'll bring it back to the council for further comments or direction.
I'm ready. This is Karen. I'm ready to make a motion if there are no other comments. Okay. And then I would make a motion that we adopt an urgency ordinance affirming actions of the County of San Luis Obispo and their enforceability within the City of Grover Beach.
Second.
Can I make a friendly amendment to the first and the second regarding the addition of language about local funding sources?
Yes, I'm sorry. Including that the additional language in item 5 regarding the local agencies.
And does the second, does the second concur?
Yes.
Sounds like Councilmember Nichols was the second, correct?
Correct.
Very good. Any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and do a roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So that concludes that item. There is an urgency ordinance in place. Thank you, everyone. So that will take us to our...
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, City Attorney. Appreciate that. So that brings us to our item number three on the agenda, which is waiver of late penalties and interest for TOT payments and sewer and water and sewer... and sewer and water and sewer user fees. City Manager Brunson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just briefly kick this off and then turn it over to Administrative Services Director Purcell to walk through the item. In item number one, we talked about the growing difficulty for not just businesses, but residents in our community, given the scope of economic impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic. So there are a number of different steps that communities are contemplating, and we are taking an item before you in this item that would have a waiver of late penalties and interest for two particular forms of payment: the transient occupancy tax payments for hoteliers as well as short-term rental hosts, and then water and sewer user fees, which would have a community impact for businesses and residential customers. We think it's a prudent step forward to help offer some relief. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Purcell to walk through the specifics.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager, and good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Dan Purcell, Administrative Services Director.
And Ms. Purcell, if you can speak a little bit louder, please, that'd be great.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Not quite. Are you on a conference phone, or can you speak directly into the receiver?
Okay, is that better?
Much better. Better. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. Because we understand
the impact with the COVID-19 pandemic and the shelter-at-home orders is having.
Ms. Purcell, we lost. You were got quiet there again.
Okay, I'll try again. Because we understand the significant impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the shelter at home.
This is Karen. I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Ms. Cantrell, I'm sorry, Purcell. I apologize. So, Ms. Purcell, can you speak into your receiver?
Is it better now?
Oh, much better. Yes.
Okay. Much better. Much.
Thanks, Dan.
Very good. Ms. Purcell, the floor is back to being yours.
Okay. All right. Because we understand the significant impact.
Ms. Purcell, please hold on. We lost you again.
Given the item, I can go ahead and step in at this time, and then we'll work on the technology behind the scenes. It's our first time using this new program, and we may have a technical detail to work out there, but thank you for your council's patience. So... again, we're looking at providing a waiver of late penalties and interest for two different payments, the transient occupancy tax, TOT, I'll say, and then utility payments, water and sewer. So starting off with the TOT payments, we know that right now there is a significant impact on the tourism industry. Tourism has essentially dried up given the stay-at-home, shelter-at-home orders. And so the lodging establishments that are generating TOT revenue are reporting almost zero occupancy across the county. So actions have been taken so far in Pismo Beach, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, and are being brought to the council at this time. What's being contemplated is for the city to waive late penalties and interest for TOT payments from February through April 2020. These are 3 months of payments that are due at the end of March, end of April, end of May, when the shelter at home is particularly pronounced. The idea being that in June we would see a reopening and we would be able to see some revenue coming back in at that time. This would be very clear that we're not waiving the payments. We're not we're not deferring the payments. What we are doing is waiving the late penalties and interest so that should hotel establishments need some additional time, this would enable them to make a payment later on this year. August 31st is the important deadline that we have stated in this ordinance. That's a specific date because it's the last date that we can accrue revenues to the current fiscal year. So in essence, we are not losing revenues from these TOT payments over this fiscal year. We're just getting them later in the year if hoteliers need some additional time to make these payments. But again, we're not waiving or deferring the payments themselves, just late fees that are associated with these payments normally. Also, I mentioned that the lodging operators are still required to pay the 1% countywide tourism marketing district assessment that goes to Business Local. That is a separate fee, separate tax on top of our locally generated TOT, and we have no ability to change that. So that would still be required, and we would still remit the funds directly to Business Local. So that is the first action that is before you with this ordinance. And secondly, for our utility customers, both residential and commercial, we are going to have a similar provision should the council adopt this ordinance. We would be waiving late penalties for all water and sewer customers for the bills from February through April, so same time frame as TOT payments. We also would be suspending shutoffs for non-payment and building this into our protocol as well. Again, offering relief for those who may need it during these next few months. From a fiscal impact statement or standpoint, the TOT payments waiver would not amount to a significant loss of revenue because of the number of hotels that we have, frankly, in the community. We would be looking at possibly around $20,000 in lost revenue from waiving late penalties and interest for the utility payments, given the number of customers we have, the late fees involved, the door hangers. But that's money that we can absorb through our enterprise funds over the rest of this fiscal year. And again, we believe this is a prudent and empathetic step to offer some relief to our customers during these next few months. So with that, I'll stop and see if council has any questions or any comments, and perhaps Ms. Purcell may be able to jump on to that as well.
Very good. I'll give Ms. Purcell an opportunity first to see if there's anything she wanted to add.
I have nothing to add right now, but I'm hoping you can hear me better.
That was much better.
Yes, much better. Thank you, Deanne.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. So next, I'll turn it over to Councilmember Lance, see if she has any questions.
Just one. If we were, and it'll probably go into a comment with the council after we get to that point, is there any negative impacts or anything of that nature that you could see if we extended it to May, through May?
Currently, the other cities, Pismo Beach, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, they have just extended it from February and March. And so I added April for the reason that it looks like we're going to be sheltering at home probably through the end of April. So I think it's probably just something we'll have to watch. But since there isn't a significant impact to our city, I don't see why we couldn't extend it if needed.
Yeah, it's a policy decision of the council, but again, we're extending a month beyond what the other cities have been enacting thus far.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. The other thing, and I'm sorry, the other thing I didn't hear the whole conversation, but I wanted to say, did we talk about it's important to note that they'll still need to submit their TOT forms on time, and that they'll need to pay the 1% tourism marketing district assessment on time, because that's something that the city does not have the authorization to waive or defer. And then lastly, if the TOT forms are not received by the due dates, penalties and interest will not be waived for the months that a TOT form is not submitted after the due date. So I don't know if that was covered, but that was something I wanted to make sure that we noted.
Very good. Yeah, the city manager did cover most of that, if not all of that.
Okay.
It was a good it was a good reminder and a good second clarification of that.
Thank you.
Sure. Councilmember Lance, did you have any other questions?
No, just comments when we talk.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Nichols.
I kind of am of the opinion that we ought to extend it at least another month. But I guess that's up to the council to come to a decision.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that after under deliberation. So, Councilmember Shaw, any questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understand how this would work in practice. For example, we're going to waive the late fee on a bill for February, March, and April. So then you would need to pay. So then what happens with your May? Let's say we didn't extend it, or, you know, your May and June bill. So you would go ahead and pay those on time. Like, I just think a lot of people come May and June will be deciding they'll only be able to make one payment. They probably won't be able to make a bunch of back payments at that time. So, but then as long as everything's paid in full by August 31st, you're going to be okay? Or is it like in June, you need to make a June payment, but this back stuff we're not going to worry about until August?
That's correct. So the May TOT would be due in June, and the June TOT would be in July. And the idea is hopefully that this is over and that tourism starts picking up and they're able to make those payments. But the reason that we have August 31st as our last date is because the city's fiscal year ends on June 30th and we close our accounts on August 31st. So it's really the latest date that these payments can be delayed and still be able to accrue or record the revenues in the current fiscal year 19-20.
Okay. And so then also, will it work that way with the utility payments? I'm just thinking of people paying their water bill. So let's say June comes around and they only have enough payment to pay for June. What happens to these back payments? That's still not due till August.
Yes, that's correct. It would be the same as TOT. And so we're already trying to think of those situations where they're having a really hard time. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll set up a payment plan where we'll give them longer to pay, and we can maybe just set it up as a receivable on the books. But the whole idea with this is to try and get the revenue in to the current fiscal year. So that's the reason we set that August 31st due date, with the knowledge that some of the people that are really having the cash flow issues might have a problem making those payments.
Right. Okay. And the only other thing I was questioning, I wasn't sure of the one piece of the wording in the actual ordinance. If you look at the bottom of the first page, the last whereas, it talks about TOT, the very bottom line of the first page of the ordinance, says TOT payments be deferred until after August 31st, 2020, but I wasn't sure, isn't it until August 31st, 2020?
I think that's correct, council member.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if I was reading that right. Okay, that was the only question I have. So it sounds like, especially when it comes to the water bill, it'll almost be a thing of, you know, just making sure some money is coming in and almost, you know, just trying to make sure maybe June and July gets paid and then almost helping people on a one-on-one basis to hopefully get there by August 31st. Would that be the goal?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. That may get complicated, but I think it's worth it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. So Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have any questions?
No, thank you. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Very good, as have mine. So I will turn this over to Deputy City Clerk Retenis, if there's anyone on the line that wants to speak on this item.
No.
Very good. Seeing no public comment, I'll bring it back for comments and deliberation. So we'll start with Councilmember Lance.
Thank you. My only comment, if not obvious yet, is to extend the grace period to cover May as well, just because I think that's still going to be a question mark of a month, and it would perhaps minimize the need for us to come back to this. So that's my only comment.
Very good. So, Councilmember Nichols.
I think it's okay. Could this be amended along the way if, for example, it's really still worse by May and June? That's my only concern.
Perhaps I'll start and then turn it over to the city manager to see if there's anything that that he wants to add to this. So if I'm hearing from Councilmember Lance and Councilmember Nichols, extending it to May, and then Councilmember Nichols going, is there maybe an opportunity to extend it further than that without council action? Or maybe I'm misinterpreting the comment. So City Manager Bronson, am I?
I think your read about Councilmember Lance's comment was correct. My only interpretation of Councilmember Nichols' comment, and I'll certainly defer to her, is she also asking, could this ordinance be amended between now and May? If we left it at the current time period but wanted to amend it as we go forward, could we have the ability to do that? That was my interpretation of the question, but maybe I'm
That's correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Councilmember Shaw, any comments?
If we don't see a huge downside, I would agree with postponing it to May at this time. I do think we could always amend it later, too, but I just think people are sitting home right now. They're losing their jobs. They're really under a lot of stress about how they're going to get out from under this. And I think this could give them a breather, because even if people do get back to work in May or in April, if they're not going to get their first paycheck even until May, and at that point they're going to be really behind. So I don't know. I just think it could give people a tiny bit of peace of mind. It might be worth it.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Well, two things. One, I do believe that we should certainly revisit this, or at least have the option to do so, which I believe we can, because I hate to say this, but we really don't know where we're going to be at the end of April or in the beginning of May. So we certainly, I think, would want to revisit this. And as far as waiving late fees and that's a bad thing. Particularly in this time, I would be willing to do that for May.
Okay.
But I do believe that we should consider revisiting this should we need to.
Gotcha. Okay. So hearing all those comments, perhaps I'll put the city manager on the spot for a moment and say we took a number of actions that I think expired in April. So we would need to extend those if at some point, depending upon where May goes. No, you don't see any concerns with having one kind of off cycle?
By other actions, you mean the facility closures and or the items earlier on this agenda?
Or the ratification of the emergency services declaration that we've done previously that I think went through the 17th, which we're, if we need to extend that, that ends up being at another meeting that we extend it. So
yeah.
We start to get things a little bit off of cycle, but I'm okay with that as long as the tracking of the documents is good for City Hall.
Yeah, I think we would just make sure that we are keeping the dates consistent, and where we need to extend something, bring it to the council, we could do so at the regular meetings or at the special meetings. The Brown Act gives us the ability to now convene special meetings rapidly if we need to. So we could bring those time cycles in line. And just one thing to point out, for the council's information, the cost estimate for extending an additional month would be roughly $26,000. So going from $20,000 to $26,000 for each additional month based on the numbers that we have before you.
And that would be for the water and sewer.
That's for the water and sewer. That's correct.
Very good. Okay. Did that generate any questions, Councilmember Lance?
No, that's in potential late fees, $26,000, or that's in payment?
That's in lost revenue from late fees and from not charging for door hangers, the typical costs that go into
okay.
the late utility payments.
Okay, thanks.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols, any other comments?
No. I didn't realize that it would be that much of a loss in a month's time.
Okay. Councilmember Shaw?
No, I mean, no, I can go either way. I can delay it till May now, or if people think it's more prudent, we could revisit it. I just, at this point, May is going to be here before we know it, so.
Yep. Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
That's acceptable to me, but either way, we can, as I said, I think we're going to need to revisit it anyway, one way or the other. So,
very good. With that, I'll turn it back over to Councilmember Lance to formulate the motion.
Sure. I motion that we adopt an urgency ordinance to waive late penalties and interest for TOT payments for the month of February through, I would propose, May 2020, payable by August 31st, 2020, and suspend utility shutoffs and waive penalties on late utility payments until August 31st, 2020.
I'll second. This is Councilmember Shaw.
So just a clarification, so we have a motion and a second. Clarification is the waiver of the penalties for water and sewer would be on utility customers for February, March, April, and May for billings until October 31st, correct? So it's more in keeping with the council's the staff report recommendation. Just want to make sure that we weren't delaying fees and penalties until August, that it was just going to go through May, correct?
Yes, waiving fees and penalties for February, March, April, and May 2020.
And just to confirm with the council, the intention is to have this extension for the TOT payments in addition to the water and sewer payments. Is that what I understand?
Correct.
That was my understanding.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So, and my brain is trying to figure out, I know it was Councilmember Lance that made the motion. Who made the second, please?
Shaw.
Miriam Shaw.
Very good. Thank you. Any other discussion? So do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone. So that concludes action on that item, which takes us to item number 4. Which is City of Grover Beach Emergency and Disaster Purchasing Policy. So I'll start with City Manager Brunson, and then I'm sure he'll turn it over to the Administrative Services Director Purcell.
Thank you, and we'll make this last item very brief. the emergency declaration that we adopted on March 16th does have language regarding the purchase of supplies and equipment to respond to emergency situations. It's fairly general language that gives the city manager the ability to enact certain purchases. This policy before you today really puts some more specificity behind that. It provides some guidance and clarity about what type of purchases, what type of dollar amounts, and what kind of circumstances would be triggered by this. This is something that we've been wanting to do for a while, and this circumstance gives us the reason and imperative we need to help get this policy forward and adopted now. So with that, I'll ask Ms. Purcell to have a very brief outline of the policy before the council.
Yes, I'll make this very brief, and my apologies again for the last hiccup. I'll try and make this a lot clearer. So with a disaster or emergency, such as the COVID-19 incident that we are currently experiencing, it's important for us to have a formal emergency and disaster policy in place for a number of reasons. Main purpose for this emergency policy is to expedite purchasing procedures, which under crisis conditions, where there's immediate threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the community, staff needs to have the ability to act quickly. The components of this emergency and disaster purchasing policy can be found in the attachment to the staff report, so I won't go over it in detail, but a couple examples from the proposed policy include, first, the expanded spending limits. For example, the city manager has a higher dollar threshold for approving purchases. And second, the priority for local vendors first. This is in order to receive goods and services as quickly as possible to prevent any further threat to public health and safety. And lastly, the sole source or no bid process. That's for immediate procurement. So it's also important to have an emergency and disaster policy in place to meet the requirement for FEMA and other outside funding. In addition to this policy, the city has set up a separate project code, COVID-19, to track and identify purchases made that are directly related to COVID-19 for potential reimbursement. So for all these reasons mentioned, it's important for us to have a formal emergency policy in place, which the city has had not had to date. So the recommendation tonight is to adopt the resolution creating a City of Grover Beach emergency and disaster purchasing policy. So with that, I'll turn it over to council for discussion and to answer any questions. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation. And we'll start with Councilmember Lance.
No questions. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols.
No questions.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
No question.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Just a quick question. Deanne, are you going to use like a discretionary code for these purchases?
Yes, we already have a code that we've set up so that we can track all of our purchases for the current emergency, COVID-19.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good, and I didn't have any questions either, so I'll turn it over to see if we have any members of the public.
Yes.
Want to speak? Very good. No one wants to speak on this item. We'll bring it back to council for comments and or a motion. So I'll kick this off just real briefly and just to say thank you for bringing this forward, and that there is a built-in we have implicit trust in our city staff, but there is a built-in notification requirement under item C of page 4 for the purposes of those listening, that any purchase in excess of $150,000, the city manager shall report to the city council within 30 days. So there is an acknowledgement that the council and the public should be aware of these purchases that are being made under the emergency policy. So I appreciate that being included in there as well. So. Next, I'll go to Councilmember Lance.
I really don't have any comments other than that I would be supportive of moving forward, but I'll let everybody else share their comments until we do that.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols.
I'm prepared to make a motion if everybody is in agreement.
Very good. Let me check real quick. Councilmember Shaw.
That's fine with me.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Nope, I'm good with that as well.
Very good. Then I'll bring it back to Councilmember Nichols for the motion, please.
Okay, I move that we adopt the resolution creating the City of Grover Beach Emergency and Disaster Purchasing Policy.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
The dog said yes. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
That was not my dog, by the way.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. So we have a emergency and disaster purchasing policy. Thank you, everyone, for that. So we don't have any other items on the agenda this evening, but I did want to give one last shout out to any members of the public that if they anyone wanted on the line wanted to make any comments. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Pretenna. Seeing no one come forward, I'll give last comments to any members of the council, see if they wanted to share anything that's not on the agenda this evening. Councilmember Lance.
No, thank you, though.
Councilmember Nichols.
I have an observation. I have been using the boardwalk down beach a number of times, and we generally go about 4 in the afternoon, and we have realized that they're the same group of people are generally there during that period of time. And there's an elderly gentleman with a walker. And when we first met him, he had 5 family members with him. And lately he's been going there and back by himself very well. And it's gotten to a point where we're saying hello. But I've noticed there's the boardwalk is not very wide, so there's not much chance of a 6-foot gap unless you're really observant of it. And they, the people that we are meeting are being very observant of that, you know, hugging the rails on each side depending on which direction they're going. And instead of saying hi or whatever, they just nod in recognition. And it's very, very safe and very, very comfortable.
Okay. Thank you for those observations. So next up, Councilmember Shaw.
We have, you know, the greatest staff, and I think our county staff, down to our city staff, I'm just so appreciative, our law enforcement, our firefighters, and I just can't wait to see all our coworkers in real life again soon. I miss everyone. So.
Very good. Keep posting those videos. So, Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Definitely, Miriam, keep the videos, please. They're very entertaining. We all received a letter from Brad Gibford, and I'm just hoping that somebody is able to answer that question for him. I guess I'm throwing that off to Matt, maybe, or Chief Peters.
Yes, Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you're talking about the letter regarding the Nacimiento homeless encampment.
Yes.
Staff is aware of that information, and we can send a response back to Mr. Gibford, I believe his name was, and share that information with the council. And we will respond accordingly. There are some challenges in how we can respond to that particular issue, but we are very diligently tracking this, making sure we will patrol the area as best as we can.
Okay. It's just, you know, from a council standpoint, as you know, there's just not much we can do, and so I was just hoping that somebody might be able to respond to him in some way. Anyway, that's all I have to add, other than I agree wholeheartedly with all of the other comments and with our police and staff and fire. Thank you so much for all you do.
Actually, yeah, they are all doing a very good job, and we appreciate all, them all. With regards to Mr. Gipsford's comments, I did reply to him last evening, and in addition to the comments that the city manager mentioned, I did remind him that the council did have a discussion about the Blue Bag project, and we I anticipate that we would be revisiting that once the COVID-19 situation play itself out, and then hopefully we could participate in that in cleaning up that area and making sure that that things go back to as close to normal as possible. So one item that I did want us to just in case there
is. Thank you for that.
Certainly. Yep. I just wanted to add one more item. I was on a phone call earlier today where we got an update on the fact that there is an overnight safe parking area for those that don't have homes, for those who are homeless in our community. The Oceano Campground at the intersection of Highway 1 and Pier Avenue has been open to a safe parking, overnight parking for those who can overnight in their vehicles. The showers and the restrooms will be available. Last night, I believe it's there were 7 folks that that took advantage of that opportunity, and that will continue for the foreseeable future under the auspices of the county's direction. There is another one in Los Osos where they had, I believe, 11 people last night. So the word is starting to spread and get out to those folks that need that assistance. And hopefully that will continue, and the possibility for a third site if the need arises. But we do have one in South County, which is a benefit to those less fortunate.
Thank you for that information too. Thank you.
Okay. Is that open to anyone, or do you have to be showing symptoms of COVID, or is that for anyone?
Actually, it is specifically for those that are not showing symptoms of COVID-19. The county is in the process of securing hotel rooms and other facilities for those that are showing symptoms that are in our homeless populations. I believe the pilot project is currently in Atascadero, where the numbers are slightly higher. Fortunately, Grover Beach is, if you look on the readyslow.org website, we are currently not listed as among those places that have COVID-19 cases, so which is a wonderful thing. But for those members of the homeless population that are showing symptoms, they are being isolated in a hotel room or another facility where they can be tested and then determined whether what treatment might be appropriate for that. So those are actually being done in hotels or the other alternate facilities, and the parking lots are for those that are asymptomatic. So with that, I saw the city manager wanted to add something.
Yeah, just briefly to add to that, the 2 hotels in the pilot effort for homeless individuals who are showing signs of COVID-19 are in Atascadero and San Luis Obispo. So the 2 hotels there, they have other hotels that could be possibilities, including one or more in the South County area if they need to. It is a pretty extensive effort that the county is providing with these hotels, and if individuals test negative for COVID-19, they are released back into the community. So it's really just for those who are showing symptoms and ultimately testing positive for COVID-19. The safe parking area, to the mayor's point, is for individuals who are not showing symptoms, who have RVs and need a safe place to park. As of now, there are no established, quote, safe campgrounds that have been established, though there is work being done to see if that can be changed.
And I think back to Councilmember Nichols' comments earlier about the boardwalk. There has been some conversations with respect to, obviously, the riding area has been closed. There's been some comments by state parks officials about whether to keep the boardwalk open. Pismo took the step of closing its pier. And so I don't know if the state parks will take action on the boardwalk specifically, but there might be some more information to follow either from the city or the state on that in the near future. And one last comment before we adjourn is having been on a mayor's briefing comments pretty much every day since this started, I can attest to the fact that the county is preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. And I think that's a testament to the EOC leadership and to the leadership of the county to say if we do get a situation where our medical facilities or our hospitals or other facilities are overwhelmed, that facilities will be in place to take care of those individuals that either need treatment or require treatment. So the desire by the county obviously is to never have to use these facilities, but they will be there if the need arises and the system gets overwhelmed. And the likelihood is that the peak is several weeks away. We've seen, if you've been following ReadySlow.org, the number of cases continues to kind of linearly rise. And so fortunately, it's not the exponential rise that some other locations have done. So to date, the sheltering in place and the physical distancing appears to be working. But as the city manager mentioned earlier, diligence is going to be necessary and prudent in order to keep that at a place where it is manageable. So with that, unless there's any other comments or anything that people want to share from the council standpoint, one last call. Hearing none, we will adjourn until our next meeting. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your work today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, wow. Bye.
Thank you.